thank you. It's great to be here in real life and to have the opportunity to say something about how I see UKRI particularly fitting into this wider landscape that Patrick has described. I have some slides. So kind of building a little bit, I think, on what Patrick has said, but also focusing into the research and innovation landscape that UKRI live in. As Patrick said, we have this extraordinary track record as a nation in research and innovation right across disciplines. So that's something that is not common around the world, to really cover the breadth and the depth, all of it in one place, really high quality. So that's a tremendous national strength. And I think we have the opportunity right now, building on the kind of instabilities, for example, emerging from the pandemic, to drive forward and use this extraordinary national strength to deliver a more sustainable and more inclusive knowledge economy that will feed not only the economy, but also our public services. So really capitalizing on that extraordinary breadth and depth of talent, skill, understanding in the research and innovation system to build that much more innovation-led economy and map that into our public services, I think it's one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities. It's a very exciting time to be able to do that. And I think the integrated review and all of the work that Patrick has led in the science function across government tell us that to do that, the amount of money we're ever going to be able to put in is never going to be the China-US amount of money. But because we are a comparatively small country with this very broad set of expertise and skills, if we work intelligently and if we think creatively in this coordinated, integrated way, with the kind of agility that Patrick talked about too, we can build that global strategic advantage through thinking much more holistically about what we've got and investing and incentivizing in a way that allows us to capture the extraordinary bottom-up benefits of all of that creativity and diversity that we have in the system to target at key nationally defined priorities. And one of the things that we have that very few countries have is a UKRI-like organization. And we are, I think, a crucial national asset in delivering on this ambition, precisely because we connect. That's a core part of our function, is to connect between disciplines, to connect between sectors, and to connect the extraordinary crucible of bottom-up discovery science with the extraordinary creativity of innovators across the system, to join those things up to deliver value of all kinds into the economy and into our public services. So for those not familiar with UKRI, we're a relatively new organization, coming up to our fourth birthday, and we are the largest public sector funder of R&I in the UK, and we are nine parts brought together, and those nine parts are Innovate UK, the UK's innovation agency, Research England, that works very closely with the equivalent bodies in the devolved nations to put support into our extraordinary university system, and then the seven disciplinary research councils that fund a full gamut of research from the completely blue skies, open end, through to more applied and company driven collaborations across the research disciplines. And all of those things under one roof allows us potentially to think much more intelligently and in a coordinated way about the investment portfolio across that piece. We are a public body, we're obviously accountable to government, and whilst we are a big chunk of the UK's R&D investment, we are part of a much broader system, and how we work in that system is also a crucial part of what we can do. So academia, obviously, business, public sector, third sector, and our international partners, to understand our place in the world, as Patrick said, and to use our strengths as intelligently as and effectively as possible. So, and the next slide's quite busy, I don't expect people to read it, but the point here is that we have at the moment about £8 billion to invest in a year, and we divide that across a range of core national capabilities that are the foundation for the kind of ambition that Patrick described. So a little bit more than 10% of our funding goes into PhD studentships and fellowships, so people and skills. Obviously, beyond that, there are lots of people employed also on our research grants, so technical skills and postdoctoral training and so on. So lots of funding on building the workforce. And I think we need to think about the research and innovation workforce much more broadly than we currently do, beyond just the researchers and innovators, to all the very diverse technical and administrative support roles that go with that. So 10% or so on those targeted skills programs. The fully open response mode funding that many university colleagues think of as what we do is actually only about 12% of our funding, but it is a absolutely critical part of what we do. It's the fuel for the things we don't know about, that really fully open research. And then on top of that, there's another 7% or so, which is more targeted, where there's an opportunity in an area that a research council sees as really important to drive up investment and interest in that area. So overall, then, you know, in the ballpark of 20% in that response made funding into the research base, that is crucial also for attracting in world talent, because people can see that here they can attract the funding to drive forward the program that excites them. And then there are a variety of substantial amounts of investment that are about infrastructure in some way, shape or form. So actually about 20% of our funding goes into English universities in block grants, and they're equivalent in the devolved administrations, to support that dual support arm that gives universities the flexibility and strategic opportunity to tune their research a portfolio in the way that they want. And that's it's curiously enough, this huge sum of money that goes out in a completely unhypothecated way is where a huge amount of agility in our system comes from, because it's that open funding that allows people to pivot and change direction if they need to. And then we have about 12% of our budget on infrastructure of various sorts, the kind of big international projects that we work on, like CERN, but also across the country, some key facilities we have, but also the day-to-day equipment that goes into labs of a larger sort. And then about 10% of our funding in research institutes and national laboratories, key national capabilities again. And then there's a block of funding that is more in the innovation area. So that includes the catapult centers, also institutes that bridge in that key middle ground between innovative businesses and the HEI and wider research base, the response mode innovation funding that operates through Innovate UK to support usually SMEs in driving forward their innovation projects. And then more recently, the Industrial Strategy Challenge Fund, which is this challenge-led funding that has been driven by key industrial challenges that need solving, where you can pull together into interdisciplinary teams to deliver in for example, battery technology. So there's that innovation-led area. We have funding that's specifically targeting international activity, about 6% of that specific international funding, although a lot of the other components I talked about have an international element. At the moment, about 5% of our funding is in targeted COVID programs. So what's the point of this long laundry list? It's that we have a diverse portfolio of investments, and as one organization, we have the opportunity to think about that as a portfolio, to manage it as a portfolio, to tune across the elements and within the elements to deliver on a whole variety of goals. So we can coordinate investment across the system, both to deliver key priorities, but to ensure that we are balancing those current priorities and opportunities with fully open investment for the opportunities of the future that we don't know what they are yet. And through understanding what's going on in the system, We can collect together the data and through our analytical teams, understand what's going on domestically, feed into Patrick's Science Insight function, what the strengths and opportunities are, and use that information to tune dynamically our other investments. And then crucially, connect up the system so that people and ideas move freely through it. That's an incentive thing as well as an investment thing. And if we can get all of this right, we can really get the extraordinary benefit out of the amazing research and innovation system that we have. And I hugely welcome the establishment of the Office for Science and Technology Strategy and the National Science and Technology Council, precisely as a higher order umbrella that allows us to understand and work with that system based on all kinds of information, including that coming out of UKRI, but to lock that into that much broader set of activities that Patrick highlights are essential to allow us to capture the benefits. So fundamentally, this is a typical, classic bottom-up, top-down balance issue. There's all kinds of cool stuff happening across the research and innovation base that creates opportunities. Capturing those opportunities for the economy and for public services is really important, but requires a whole load of other things like the infrastructure and the regulatory environment and so on. And so balancing the flow of information and opportunities and the steer about how to capture those and the environment in which they can be captured is the key role. And this is difficult. People like linear. They like in this end, out that end. I do this, this comes out. That's not how the system works. And we need nationally the infrastructure, the kind of intellectual infrastructure to allow us to navigate this bottom-up, top-down system to deliver for the UK. And I think the combination of UKRI, the cross-government distribution of R&D budgets, and the Office for Science and Technology Strategy and the National Science and Technology Council give us the chance to get this right as a fully wired system, so all the parts are working together. And that's what I hope will emerge in the coming years. Thank you.